You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Biggie on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7 on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Boy, what an action-packed show we have today, Miss Ellen. The studio is packed, and I love it.
So excited. And hard to believe that Pastor Paul was talking about getting a bigger studio for us.
I know.
I don't think that's going to happen.
To all our friends who are tuning in this morning to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, we have in studio Ellen Little is here with me to help co-host. We've got Cheryl Anderson, an activist with Moms Demand Gun Sense for America, calling in. She'll be with us in a few minutes. And we also have with us a friend, Kate, who is here from California. She's here with Up With People.
Yes, thank you for inviting me.
And is it Like? Leek?
Leeka.
Leeka. Leeka is here from the Netherlands, and I'm not going to say her name. She's going to tell us her name.
Leeka van den Berg.
Oh, well, don't try to say that.
Sorry.
And, of course, my friend Tracy Thompson is here. Tracy is an activist. She's a friend of mine. We were both in the Space Coast League of Women Voters, and we're in a couple of groups around town, and she's here to speak about autism and her experience, actually, and how challenging it is for her to have a child with disability.
Yes.
So, welcome to our show.
Thank you. Thank you.
And the person that put our show together today is Monica Shaw. Monica and I met last year when she was actively involved with Up With People, and she's been involved with them, and she invited us to come to the show, and we went, and we had a great time. So, Monica, thanks for being here and introducing us to these two lovely ladies.
Thank you.
Yes. So, a little bit for our listening audience about Up With People. Up With People is going to be on the second segment, and they're an educational organization whose mission is to inspire young people to make a difference in our world. Up With People works to break down cultural barriers and create global understanding through volunteers, and these volunteers are awesome because they show their cultures through song and dance, and it's wonderful because we get to see their culture on stage here in the United States in so many cities. But before we go to them and Tracy, we're going to speak a little bit with Cheryl Anderson. So Cheryl, I understand you're on the phone.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Cheryl. Thank you for taking the time to call in this morning again on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Thank you for having me. I'm so glad to be here to be able to talk about all the exciting things that are happening in regards to gun violence prevention.
Well, you know what, even on the newspaper today, there's a headline in the Florida Today that says, will there be a rift between the NRA and the GOP? And I'm not sure what's happening right now, but I do know that a lot of people are speaking about gun violence and what we can do as a society to focus on early detection of people who are deemed people with mental health issues. They're talking about banning the bump stocks. They're talking about looking at the AR rifles and what we can do to encourage people to be more responsible with gun ownership while recognizing that people have the right to bear arms. So tell us a little bit, what are you working on? Because I know the last time you called in, we talked about the march that was going to be taking place in Washington, D.C., as well as here in Florida.
That's correct. We've been talking about the march, which is the March for Our Lives, which is scheduled for March 24th all around the country. Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America is, these are student-led marches. It's just amazing. Our young people are putting this together with with a little assistance. And that's what Moms Demand Action is doing. We're providing assistance where we're requested so that we can help these marches go along. So we're looking forward to having them all over the state and all over the country. We're just waiting for, I'm literally sitting here in Jacksonville waiting for whomever the student leaders are to reach out to me so that we can assist them and help them with a march here in Jacksonville. So I'm hoping there's someone there in that area that's looking for help and is planning a march there, because I understand, it is my understanding from talking to folks in the Florida leadership with Moms Demand Action, that there is a new group that's going to be forming in the Melbourne area.
Oh, well, that's news to us, and we'll see if we can get some information about that. Well, give us your website, and maybe if someone is tuning in this morning to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, they can go on your website and send you some information.
Oh, absolutely. Now, we're mostly on Facebook, so if they're on Facebook, please look for Moms Demand Action FL for a lot of details. And, of course, our national website is momsdemandaction.org.
Well, thank you very much. And so, one more, before you leave, because we just have a couple more minutes, tell our listening audience why you got involved with Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America.
I became involved because my one of my oldest and dearest friends, her only son, was shot and killed. So he was his life was taken as through gun violence, and I actually was with the family for 2 years as we fought to get justice, as we went through the legal process. So I'm very familiar now with not only the recovery aspects of those who have felt the loss, but as well as what they have to go through in terms of the legal system afterwards. And so that's what, in honor of, and I'm sure many of you know his name, in honor of Jordan Davis and the other 96 people who lose their lives, whose lives are taken every day with a bullet, I'm out here working to make sure that, you know, to try to prevent people from having to go through that pain and the senseless, needless loss of life.
Well, thank you for sharing that story with us, and we'll check back with you and see what's going on for the march. Ellen will certainly put that on our website as well. Thank you so much. And you, and I think it's about 76% of Americans at this point would like to see tougher gun laws. So it's just all of us. I don't care who people are. You know, everyone can make a difference. It just takes one person
Absolutely.
To speak up. Thank
Absolutely.
You so much, Cheryl.
Reach out to us. We can do that.
Thank okay. you, Cheryl. Thank you so okay. much. So we go from one group of people, young people who are planning these marches, to young people who are using their cultural experience so that they can make a difference in the world as well. And that's Upward People.
Yes.
How'd you guys come up with that name? I wonder, do you know, Monica, how you came up with that name, Up With People?
I think Lika can...
I can explain it.
You can? Okay, so we're going to have Lika explain to us a little bit about Up With People. This is, they're here today, and they're going to tell us a little bit about what they're doing in Brevard, and later on we'll talk about a big event that they're having at the O'Galley High School.
Yes. So Up With People was established in 1965 after the Vietnam War, where a lot of students were like, down with this, down with that. And then some students stood up and said, well, instead of saying down with this, let's say up with something. So instead of saying we're against something, what are we up with? We are up with people.
Oh.
So they wrote a song and gathered people and started touring around. And that's what resulted in the organization that it is now, where we have 100 young people from 20 different countries that traveled the world with us for 6 months, impacting communities.
And that's the voice of Lika Vandenberg, and she's from the Netherlands. And so... Your promotional representative for Up With People.
Yes.
And do you travel all around the world or just the United States?
So we travel all around the world. We start in the United States, then go to Mexico, and then go to 4 countries in Europe.
After. And you have a master's in global economy and culture. Wow.
I do.
Amazing, right? Such young people getting involved in all this. So, and we've got Kate. Kate is here from, she's here from California. So that's easy.
Yeah.
Tell us, how did you get involved?
Well, so I am here from California, but I was actually living the past year in Bali, Indonesia. I decided to immerse myself in another culture and learn the importance of what it is like to learn people that are different from us. And so when I left Bali, I wasn't ready to live a typical lifestyle, and I wanted to bring culture to everyone around the world, so I found Up With People and have been with them ever since.
Yeah, and we've talked about that on our very fun, unscripted educational show, Miss Ellen, about people that don't own a passport but make judgments about other people all over the world, people that don't really know about a country or their culture, but yet still they speak for that country. And so it's really nice to see people that actually take in the time and effort to go all over the world and spread that message and make it their life's mission to take something from one culture, bring it to the other. Because at the end of the day, I think everybody wants to be loved and appreciated, safe and secure.
And what better way to do it than through song and dance of each of the cultures? And it's just and food. I mean, we've talked about that, about, you know, your curry chicken and how that should just be a Nobel Peace Prize
in
itself.
It should.
Because that just calms everybody down. I don't know what it is in your curry, but you just get everybody to calm down.
Well, you know, I was telling a friend of mine, I said, you know, in back in Trinidad, I remember my mom used to tell us that if you take green bananas and you boil it and put a little bit of salt on it, it can sustain you. It's a food. It's a carb, right? And people would say, oh my God, green bananas, I never heard about that. But these are cultural things that if you go to Jamaica or Trinidad or Indonesia or different countries, you'll see that people, they would take the green banana, they would boil it, they would cut it up, they would make something out of it. And it's a way of spreading your culture to other people through food, through dance, whatever it is, through history. And I like that. I like that people tend to spread that knowledge.
Right.
I mean, that's how plenty of restaurants get different menus, you know, by just going to different places and watching what people prepare.
Well, and the ladies were talking about common sense. Common sense is different in every country and every culture. It's not common, is not a common worldwide common sense. So
right.
It's nice to see different perspectives, right?
So, Monica, you got involved and you brought them to Brevard County, Florida. So tell us a little bit how you got involved with Up With People.
I first heard about Up With People in 1998 when I was in high school, and I was volunteering at a school for special needs. And through that, I got an award for Outstanding Youth Citizen and went to the Up With People show. And I was immediately inspired and knew that it was something that I wanted to do. So it was my senior year, and I took a year off and traveled to 9 countries with 150 people from 23 countries, staying in about 80 families, which was just amazing. Because it gave you the cultural immersion to be able to learn their culture and their way of life, as well as show them your way of life and break down the stereotypes that people have.
How were your parents with that? I mean, letting a girl child go off for a year, that must have been a little bit challenging.
Yeah, I mean, definitely at first they were like, you need to just go to college, get married. But fortunately, you know, they talked to other people and saw, you know, the value that it would bring in my life by traveling. Definitely something you can't learn in a textbook or sing in a college classroom. So they definitely don't regret it whatsoever.
Well, traveling from country to country, it does create better understanding and tolerance as well. And that's why a lot of us become activists, because we want to get involved and we have a story to tell. And I think we take our talent, gift, and abilities that God has given to us, and we use it in different forms. So you guys are using yours in the form of song and dance. So tell us a little bit about the event that's coming up at the O'Galley's. Is it the high school, the auditorium?
Yes. So we're going to have 2 benefit concerts on March 16 and March 17 at O'Galley High School. It's going to be a 2-hour show with music and dance from all over the world. We'll have the 100 young people all on stage. And all the proceeds will go to the Children's Hunger Project. So in itself, it's also like giving back to the community and thanking the community for having us here for a week.
And Kate, do you all have any sponsors that are helping here in Brevard County, Florida with Up With People?
Yeah, we have Health First, thank you so much, Cars Petro, BB&T, Clear Channel Outdoor, Space Coast Daily, Florida Today, 98.5 The Beach, and the Kiwanis International Partner.
Wow. So for our listeners who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends this morning, this is Sita Begee. The station is AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. And I like what Up With People says, that you guys want to make the world a more peaceful place. So what can we do to make our world a more peaceful place?
I think that what we try to do with Up With People is just bringing people together and start conversations and starting to understand each other. So definitely like a way that people can get involved when we are here is volunteering with us. We're going to do volunteer work with like local organizations and local schools. And of course, like come to the show and see what we do and talk to our people and get to know different cultures, but also start conversations within your own community and like get to know your neighbor, get to know the people that live around you and try to understand each other.
Well, that's what we were saying before we went on air is it was one of the things that we always thought with public school we can do, that we can make our public schools stronger and safer. Of course, now we're talking about gun violence, stronger and safer. And also we can help our teachers and our parents in communities so that they could bring, so the children who attend these schools could have diversity, classes of diversity and shows. And they used to bring their culture. I remember my kids used to ask me to make some curry chicken and rice so they can take it to school and tell their friends about their culture. And I think you're right. Somewhere along the line, we have lost the essence of speaking to each other. Mm-hmm. It's not just technology, but people just don't make the time anymore to come out of their houses. We live in such gorgeous homes and such awesome neighborhoods with such manicured lawns, but we don't talk to each other. And people don't know what their children are doing sometime with the other mm-hmm. children. So, I mean, how do we spread that other than with Up With People? Monica, you live here in Brevard County, and we do have a lot of things that we share and provide with diversity, but what do you think we lost that essence, that magic of talking to people?
I guess part of it is just getting busy in our day-to-day lives and in our own families that we forget what else is going on around us. So I definitely think that Brevard does a great job of showcasing other cultures. I know the Greek festival was last weekend. They had the Chinese Indian New Year celebration. I know we've been part of India Fest, and India Fest has been going on for 22 years. Getting yourself out and taking your children and your families to these cultural fairs. So if you can't afford or you don't have the time to travel somewhere and see it in person,
just make the effort. Yeah. Just make the effort, because the opportunity is there right here in Brevard for all. Yeah. And we just had the Renaissance Festival as well. That Ellen and I were part of that as well.
But and that was Robin Hood and his Merry Men.
That's right.
It's a whole other culture.
Yeah. But, you know, she's right. We are busy. Sometimes, you know, we work with people side by side, and they've got all these personal challenges and struggles that they're going through, whether it's with a child or whether it's with a husband who's disabled. Some people don't have gas money to get to work. And it's amazing when you open up to somebody and you show respect and trust, and you start speaking with them and you say, you talk to them. I mean, speaking to people is free. Freedom of speech comes with a responsibility to be kind to people and show compassion.
But you also have an opportunity to get resources. I mean, you never know what the next person can help you out with.
Yeah, all you say is, you know, hi, how are you today? And some people are very honest when you say, how are you today? They'll tell you how they are. Mm-hmm. Somebody asked me today at the gym, they said, how are you today? And I said, I'm just enjoying God's planet, just having a ball on my vacation on Earth. And he's like, wow. So the thing is, and you know, so that's like positivity, right? Mm-hmm. So you don't know what kind of a day that guy was having. So, you know, you turn his frown into a smile. That's right. So you guys are here in Brevard. What do you think of Brevard County so far?
I really like it. It's actually my first time in Florida and second time in the U.S. I was very excited to see the alligators. We don't have those in the Netherlands. Mm.
We have lots of things here that you probably don't have in the Netherlands.
Kate sent me a picture daily of all the wildlife. She sees. Brevard County.
And so you're from California. What part of California were you born and raised in?
I was born in Los Angeles, California, so quite a bit busier than here.
Yeah, I must say, Melbourne is a very nice place to live.
Well, and I wanted to mention, too, that I know there's probably parents out there that are thinking, how do they get their kids involved? And the website is such a great, I don't know who did the website, so kudos to whoever did it, but there's admissions information, there's parent information, you can earn academic credit with Up With People. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about that, because there's a lot of parents out there that are thinking, wow, I don't know, you know, I don't know if my kid wants to be in the military or, you know, mm-hmm. whether college is right for them. And this sounds like such a great alternative option.
Yeah, definitely. So we have the people that travel with us are between the age of 17 and 29. So you have to have finished your high school. And then it's basically you travel for half a year. If you want more information, you can just like contact us. And it's a great way to get to know different cultures. And as you said, we have an accredited program. So you can get 12 college credits, like the basic credits, while you travel with Ovid people, which is just a great way to combine everything and still see the world.
What about the safety factor? Because, you know, like, I know one of the things as a parent I would be concerned about if I have a child who's traveling to Europe or traveling to the Middle East or even Pakistan, India, Indonesia, I would be worried about safety. How do you guys take care of that part of it?
So the group travels with 17 like staff members that are always there to take care of everyone and make sure everyone is safe. And we have a team that's there in advance and gets to know all the people and make sure that the families that the people are staying with are safe.
So they do background checks on the families, I would think, or something.
Yeah, so we meet all the families in person and we want to make sure that they are like okay to send our kids to. Yeah.
Sure.
And as well as, I mean, they have a host family meeting, so they meet them and they go to credible places like Rotaries, Kiwanis clubs, and places like that, churches, where they can find credible families.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you were saying that you have over 100 families in Brevard that's hosting the kids, or is it 75?
So we have 105 people coming in, and I think we have like around 50 host families that are like welcoming an international student into their home.
Wow. And if somebody, and if a family's listening and they wanted to be a host family, can they sign up someplace to be checked to get on the list?
Yes, they definitely can. If they go to the website, upwithpeople.org/ Brevard County, they can request more information.
And now we get to the good part, the tickets, right? How much are the tickets and what time is the show?
So the shows are on March 16 at 8 p.m. and March 17 at 7 p.m. And the tickets are $15 for students and $20 for adults.
I know. I went last year. It was fantastic. And what I liked about it, how organized the show was, at no moment were there any lapses in the show. Like, it just rolled. I was like, it was amazing because some shows you go in and then they've got like something going on the stage and you have to wait a little bit till they can get it together. Their act was together like the entire 2 hours. And they had the people, the audience was getting involved. They were clapping, they were cheering. I mean, it was amazing. The experience, I think, was spectacular. I just really liked it a lot.
Yeah, we're really excited about the show this year. We have a new production. It's called Live on Tour, and it's the first time that this show has ever been seen. And it's made for the relevant events that have been going on around the world this past year. So how to talk to people who are different than us. It incorporates the Me Too movement, and the songs and the dances all come from very, you know, everything that is relevant going on. So it's really, really powerful, and we're excited to bring the
message. So is this a bring
hope.
A tissue?
Yeah, definitely.
Bring some tissues. There you go.
Be prepared.
A little public
to
service
laugh,
in it.
To
well, the,
cry,
the, young, the young people are our future. We're seeing our young people stepping up to, you know, demand action, not just in the Me Too movement, but now we're seeing it for gun violence and what can we do to make it safer for our communities and our schools and what we can do to have common sense approaches to all these reforms. So I think it's awesome that the young people, they're the future of just not America, but the entire world. And your movement, Upward People, is certainly showing that by showcasing the cultures from all different lands and what you're doing. So Monica, do you need more sponsors and more volunteers to assist with this show?
I mean, we'd obviously always want more people to come out. We have ticket sponsorship opportunities from $250 to $2,500. And all the proceeds will stay here local in Brevard County, benefiting the Children's Hunger Project to make sure children go home on the weekends with backpacks full of food.
So every city that this tour is it benefiting something in that community?
Yes.
Like how did you pick the nonprofit? Because that's a great one, for sure.
Basically, what the sponsors, you know, we discussed what we thought would really give back. Last time when they came 2.5 years ago, we chose the Scott Center for Autism.
Right.
And so this time.
Yeah, so you can kind of different ones. Yep. So what do you want to tell our listeners about the Netherlands before you leave? Because my brother-in-law is from the Netherlands, and I know the people are awesome. I know they eat a lot of potato.
We do eat a lot of potato.
And they're just very respectful.
We try to be.
Yes, he is. He's very soft-spoken. Hmm. He's always on time.
Does he ride
very unlike
a bike?
Indian people who are not on time all the time. But I'm always amazed if you tell him to be there, he will show up on time. And he's very polite. So tell us a little bit about your culture.
Well, I was wondering, does he ride a bike?
He used to,
yeah. Yes. We ride our bikes everywhere, to school, to work, everywhere. So we actually have more bikes than people in the Netherlands.
Really?
And yeah. You're like on the meridian line of like Buffalo, New York, right? So does it get really cold there? So I can only imagine riding a bike in like a couple of feet of snow. Is that normal?
Sometimes, but usually it's in the rain.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
Tell us a little bit about your hometown. And well, L.A., everybody knows about L.A., but there's more to L.A. than just the bright lights and the movies. The people are kind and sweet as well. My son lives in L.A., and I've been there, and I have to tell you, everybody was respectful. Everybody wants to show you something, and everybody wants to tell you where to eat, the fine restaurants.
Yeah, everyone is, we're foodies over there.
Everybody goes out. Does anybody ever eat at home?
No, nobody ever eats at home. I know that for a fact. I'm from Manhattan Beach, and the sweetest person there is my mom, but they never eat at home, so.
You know why? Because people in L.A., they like to meet other people. It seems as though nobody wants to be at home. It's a city that never sleeps. We went to the Walk of Fame, and I was like, wow, it's 2 a.m, and it's so crowded. And people were asking for your phone number and what you do, and they want to come to Florida and asking questions. It was really nice.
Lika actually calls me a grandma because I love my tea and I love to sleep, so.
Good anomaly.
Yeah. So, Martha, give us, before we go, but this segment is finished, give us a website one more time, and I'm sure people can buy their tickets online as well for the show.
Yes, so the website is upwithpeople.org/Brevard County, and that's where they can find information on host families, but also the tickets.
And Monica, before we go off it, give us a 30-second speech, or you, or Kate, or Lika, tell us, what is a 30-second speech for you to get more young people to be engaged in their communities? I mean, we have so many people that are doing great things, but then we have others who are just sitting on the fence and looking for something to get involved in, a nonprofit or a group like this, and they just don't know about it.
Yeah, get outside. We are going to be with the Children's Hunger Project and packaging lunches with them, Scott's Autism Center, painting a mural for them. We're going to be at Brevard Rescue Mission and Crosswinds and Bridges. So we'll find us on our Facebook page, Brevard County Up With People, and we'll bring you opportunities to come volunteer with us. And we really just want to keep hope alive in this community, but just spread awareness about things that are going on and how to get involved.
It never fails, right? Our show is always about communication and bringing awareness to something. And who else better to do it than us, Ellen and I, on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends? And it is fun, and it is unscripted. So if we make a mistake, people just have to forgive us.
Well, but I think they just laugh with us, Sita.
But, you know, the truth of the matter is, I mean, you really can't sit at home if you have a wealth of knowledge in your brain that you could share with others.
That's right.
And we share all of this through a show by having the experience and the knowledge that we've read something, or we've spoken to someone, or we went to a certain fundraiser and we met someone who says, hey, I'm doing this or I'm doing that. And it's really wonderful to be able to have a voice on WWBC AM 1510. So thank you, Paul.
And we're going to take just a quick break to hear from our sponsors. But ladies, thank you so much for being on the show with us today. Yeah, stick around because we'll be right back right after these quick sponsors.
And founder of Simply Sita Skincare and these great sponsors.
Fly me to the moon and let me play among the stars.
Cloud9 Sleep Shop in the Merritt Square Mall has expanded to meet the growing needs of the community and customers. Cloud9 Sleep Shop now has a 10,000 square foot showroom with a wider variety of choices for customers to shop for bedroom, living room, and dining room furniture from nationally recognized brands such as Ashley Furniture. Cloud9 Sleep Shop also carries memory foam mattresses from Serta, Ashley Sleep, Enso, and many more. Cloud9 has furniture to meet the needs of budget-minded customers with quality furniture. Cloud9 Sleep Shop is a family-owned business that understands the needs of growing families. Furnish your home with one-stop shopping from Cloud9 Sleep Shop. Cloud9 Sleep Shop, centrally located in Brevard at the Merritt Square Mall. For more information, go to their website at cloud9sleepshop.com.
When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 8 locations serving Brevard County. So if you have an emergency, need a physical, or when your doctor is unavailable, with 8 locations, MedFast offers top quality care that is close by and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MedFast, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. MedFast Urgent Care opens 7 days a week with the convenience of 8 locations serving Brevard County. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MedFast. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With 3 locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. We had such a great first segment with the young ladies from Up With People. We had Lika, who's here from the Netherlands. We had Kate, who's here from California. And we have our very own Monica Shaw, who was here with us. And we just wanted to remind our listeners a little bit what Up With People was about. Up With People is an educational organization whose mission is to inspire young people to make a difference all over the world, even in Trinidad and Tobago, Miss Ellen. And Up With People works to break down cultural barriers and create global understanding through volunteerism and service. And I like to say, they stump out ignorance as well. Because when you go around the world, what you learn, I mean, it's amazing. So thank you guys for being on the first segment. And they gave us their website so that people can buy tickets to attend the event that's going to be at the O'Galley High School.
And I've posted that on our Facebook page on CETA Media Inc., the
great
Facebook page.
March 16th at 8 p.m. and March 17th at 7 p.m. And I have to say, I attended the show the last time they were in town. It was phenomenal. Lots of song and dance. And I had one question before we go to our second segment. Are there going to be any costumes this year, people representing their countries?
Yes, there are.
There are costumes?
Yes.
Can you give us a little hint what kind of costumes to expect?
We have one dance that's from Japan, so we have like the costume of what people wear in Japan during a yin-yang dance. So that's one of my favorite, definitely.
Yeah, last year they had a lot of nice costumes from some of the Spanish-speaking countries as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have Monica say one more time the sponsors who are helping to put on this awesome event for us right here in our beautiful Brevard County, Florida.
Our presenting sponsors are Southeast Petro, Cars Petro, BP Oil Company, Health First, BB&T, ExxonMobil, and our media sponsors are the Children... Clear Channel Outdoor, Space Coast Daily, Florida Today, and 98.5 The Beach, as well as we have several other ticket sponsors. So we want to thank everyone who's sponsored. And if you're interested, definitely look us up on our website. There's ticket sponsorship packages from $250 to $2,500.
Yeah. Not bad. I mean, it's for what you get for that show, it's the ticket prices is really not that bad at all, right? So, and then we have Tracy Thompson. And Tracy and I met, actually, Tracy sent me a lovely email, mm-hmm. and then we ended up meeting at the Space Coast League of Women meeting last Monday, and then we met again at another meeting. That's a nice thing about Brevard County. There are so many groups that if you want to get involved, you can, whether it's saving the beach, whether it's recycling, whether it's the solar energy, whatever you want to do, the environment, you can get involved. And got involved because you have a child with some cognitive disabilities, right?
Yeah, actually, I have two children.
Mm-hmm.
Back in 2005, my oldest was diagnosed at around 2 years old with on the autism spectrum. And then in 2007, his younger brother at the same age was diagnosed on the spectrum as well. And then he also in 2013 was diagnosed with epilepsy as well.
And who else to get involved than a mom, right? A mom
right.
knows from the heart you're going to get involved. And it has been very challenging for you dealing with the children and their disability, as well as looking at the policy-making part of this. So tell us a little bit. You got involved with the Florida Developmental Disability Council,
mm-hmm.
and you recently graduated. What you learned, you had a
yes.
certificate in something. Tell
yes.
us about that. You were so excited about that.
Yeah, and that's the biggest reason why I'm here today. It's been a journey for me as a mom, navigating not only our own family's issues, but as well navigating the issues that affect all people with developmental disabilities. And this can include people with cerebral palsy, spina bifida, Down syndrome, autism. It also, in developmental disability as a whole, is anyone that has been affected, it might be actually an injury, through the age of birth to 18 years of age. So someone might get in a car accident and have a brain injury. That would be considered a developmental disability as well. And for me, as a parent, I've been at oftentimes very angry at Florida's lack of good policies for people with developmental disabilities. And I started following the Florida Developmental Disability Council, and they offer a program every year called Partners in Policymaking. It's a 6-month course. They have speakers come and teach you how to be an advocate, and it's open not only to parents like myself, but it's also open to self-advocates.
Right, to anyone.
Yeah.
Anyone who wants to learn.
Yeah.
Well, that's what life is all about, right? It's an education. Because
mm-hmm.
once you know what you're dealing with, and you're aware of how to make a difference, you could do it.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit. How did you find out about the Florida Development Disability Council, though? Someone told you about it, or you went to a workshop?
To be honest with you, I think I was just
surfing
online,
the web.
Searching for stuff. And the Florida Developmental Disability Council, or FDDC, is just a great organization that actually started in 1971. Every state has a developmental disability council that's used to advocate for good policy. I started just by getting capital updates. So like right now, the state legislature's in session, and they keep us updated on laws or legislation that they're either concerned about or want to promote. And they're up there in Tallahassee advocating for us. And then they're trying, through partners, they're working at helping us do it also on a grassroots level.
Yeah, I know we had our friend Joe Shim on the program, from the League of Women Voters. And I remember how concerned we were when they were, you know, trying to kick the can down the road with the Children's Health Insurance Program. Mm-hmm. Was that something that would have affected you at all?
No, not really. Our issues right now is wide-ranging. One of the biggest issues facing people with developmental disabilities is what's called a Med waiver waitlist. The way people get services is through Medicaid grants that come through the federal government and go down to states to specifically provide services with developmental disabilities. And every state has control over how they do this. And the state of Florida, unfortunately, has not prioritized people who have developmental disabilities, and there is a wait list. So, for example, my children have been on a wait list for services for 12 years.
So they don't think the children are important enough? Is that it?
Not a priority in the budget. It ends up being a budget issue. Everybody's fighting for every penny. And you're talking, there's probably about 50,000 people who do get services. But there's also currently right now over 21,000 people in the state of Florida who do not get services. And you can have, it used to be a wait list of 5 to 7 years.
How challenging. So what do these people do? I mean, you're on a list waiting to get services through Medicaid. And a lot of us know how challenging it is when you have a child and you have to work.
Right.
Now, what happens in a case that I would assume you're not working outside of the home either?
No, and that's part of the problem that happens in a lot of situations is families that take care of people with developmental disabilities often make less money, and even people with developmental disabilities themselves often struggle with employment, housing, transportation, and getting the services they need to have an integrated and productive life.
And this again goes back to why we tell people why it's important to vote and support legislation that supports good public policy.
Yeah.
Because when someone is thinking about a re-election campaign, or they're thinking about voting for someone in office, they don't think about these little things that we think. Mm-hmm. We think they're all just a side note, but it's not. It affects what, 21,000 families?
Yeah, and it's probably even more than that. And you have to understand, it's more than just getting health care. What these med waivers do is what's called home and community-based services. So this might provide transportation for someone who is a wheelchair user who might need assistance getting to a job.
Or Meals on Wheels. We saw recently. They were cutting on Meals on Wheels. And, you know, and unfortunately, it takes an activist, someone who can communicate with people to bring awareness to this type of situation, because not everyone understands what you are going through having two children with disabilities. So I'm grateful that you're able to come on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends and talk about it and be so open and honest about it, all these challenges that you're facing. So what can we do to help you to spread your message so people become more aware of DD, you call it?
Yeah, well, developmental disability. Yeah.
Yes.
We get into acronyms a lot of the
times. Yeah. Yeah.
I think there's a lot of things that, first of all, there's policies as far as in the state being aware of stuff like the med waiver wait list, being aware of, right now, they're also trying to push for what's called a pay fair for care campaign, because direct care workers who might be personal care workers or workers who work in group homes, people who might assist in your home, make subpar wages. They have like about a 40% turnover rate. The average in the state of Florida for these workers are $8.50 an hour. And these are people that are providing necessary services for people to have productive lives. And with that kind of a turnover, you're not going to get necessarily the most quality care, but also you're not going to have a consistency of services. And what has happened in the state of Florida is that a lot of providers are disappearing.
Well, you do have a shortage of people who are applying for those jobs as well.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, in the bigger picture, you know, we talk about affordable housing, we talk about healthcare, we talk about educational opportunities for people. We also talk about immigration reform and gun violence reform, right? Gun reform, right? But at the same time, when you think about the workers, the $8.50 an hour, $9 an hour, even $10 an hour, a lot of immigrants were filling those jobs. And now with what's going on with our country, with the immigration reform at a standstill, you will have a lot of people who are not coming to the United States, or the people who are here are in the shadows and are coming out of the shadows to work legally. So you what, 40% turnover? That's a lot.
Yes. Oh, it's
because I work in the nursing industry. I mean, I'm a nurse myself, And I can tell you that a lot of the caregivers, the nursing assistants, the support staff, the people that work in the kitchen, janitors, a lot of them are from other countries. Mm-hmm. And there is a turnover as well with CNAs in the nursing homes, and they're trying to fill those positions as well. So you can just imagine trying to get those workers to work for $8.50 an hour. And some of those people, they may work for $8.50 an hour at 40 hours a week, and they don't qualify for insurance themselves. So, I mean, it's a big picture, I think.
It is.
Not just the idea of we're not getting the med waiver or we're not mm-hmm. getting the support staff. You have to look at the big picture. How do we pay people a fair wage so they can survive? And because why would they want to come to someone's home and take care of a child or an elderly person when they're not making enough money to even put gas and they can't pay rent and pay car insurance?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, so it's that, I think that's the thing. So it's really awesome that you're able to go to the Florida Developmental Disability Council and you could get all this education to help yourself and help others as well.
Yeah, and the Partners in Policymaking is a great program that really transformed my life and my attitudes. I mean, I had certain attitudes about things and I thought I knew a lot, but I had a lot more to learn. And what's great about the program is offered every year, but they also have online courses to kind of help you gain more perspective. You know, it's interesting to be here today. We're speaking with young people about Up With People and about this idea of community. And, you know, coming from the perspective that I live, how our family lives, reaching out to those who have developmental disabilities, reaching out to families, I think people aren't aware of
the struggles.
It's not just the struggles, but there can be loneliness. Everybody wants to be a part of something, and there's just things that most people don't know.
They want to be counted.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's important to reach out to families.
Do you feel like there's a stigma attached to developmental disabilities as well? Because we always say there's a stigma attached to mental health.
Yeah.
Right? But I feel like sometimes there's a stigma attached to just about other things, not just mental health.
Oh, yeah. There is. And I think, unfortunately, it becomes more... This is one of my little pet peeves that I have. Is
that's okay. Yeah. This is an unscripted show. Yeah. You can have a pet peeve.
I have a pet peeve. And it's a little more than a pet peeve. You know, with two children with autism, every year there's Autism Awareness Month. And I will see lawmakers put on a lapel pin saying, oh, look at me, I'm aware of autism. But when you then turn around and you are promoting policies that hinder the lives of those with autism, you're not aware of anything. My children are more than a photo op. People deserve to be a part of their community.
And live productive lives.
Yeah, and have opportunity. There's actually a really good, it was done through some sort of Down syndrome organization. You can go on YouTube and find it, and it's called Not Special Needs. And I love it because it's different adults with Down syndrome talking about there's nothing special about wanting employment, opportunity, friends, and happiness. We all want that.
Well, we always say it's
the four
F's. And
that's what Betsy has now.
Yeah.
Betsy Farmer created that entire community based because of Luke, because of her son. Same thing. He was 18 years old.
She became an activist for him.
She's a complete activist. And now she's got that huge campus. Mm-hmm. She created the bakery and they're doing a garden so that they have a sustainable place, you know, right there for the adults now that have special
needs. Well, that's the thing.
And also
there's so
family.
Many, though, that, you know, you've got the children with Down syndrome and
but
then,
I mean,
you know,
what
you've
a
got
great model
the autism. So what you were saying is most people would like to have that four F's: friends, family, a little finances, a little food on the table. Everybody wants that. So how can we help you to bring more awareness to what you are doing? Because you're right. So oftentimes people say, well, you know, all lives matter. Well, it does. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, not everyone was born with the same opportunity. I can tell, I challenge anyone to tell me that you know, those of us that care and have become activists, it's through a life experience. I have 18 brothers and sisters.
Oh, wow.
I got my first pair of shoes when I was 12 years old. My experience made me a better person because I really don't have anything to prove to anyone in life. But I didn't have a father that was able to pay for college education or buy me a home or give me jewelry, buy me a car. And so that made me more compassionate towards other people who want and need things in life but don't have that opportunity. So children with autism, they need a loving home and they need insurance and they need a school to attend and the parents need a break. So how can we help you?
Yeah, I think part of it is beyond being aware, because we are a part of the community, pay attention. And to be honest with you, we all should be paying attention to what's happening, not just on a federal level, but on a state level. I think probably,
local.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people out there probably listening to us haven't ever made a phone call to their state lawmakers. And states really control a lot of what is happening in our daily lives in so many areas. And paying attention to what's going on, and not just from what affects you, but affects everybody in your community. It's so important that we are listening to each other and realizing, I think that probably if I went into huge details about all these policy issues that faces the developmental disability community, 99% of people would be like just aghast and, oh my gosh, that's horrible.
But we'll have you back another time because I think,
yeah,
although our show is about giving people valuable information, we also want to make a difference.
Right.
And we want to call out people when we can to help them to change the way they think as well. That's what our mission really should be in life, is to help each other so that I'm a mom, you're a mom, and that our children could go on and live productive lives with the tools that they have. But how can they have those tools if we don't give it to them?
Yeah, and I urge everyone to go to it's fddc.org. That's the Florida Developmental Disability Council's website. They have a lot of good information. And I want to share something with you. I actually went to Developmental Disability Day over in Tallahassee, and this was kind of like an advocacy day to go speak to lawmakers up there. And I took a picture of my children in the Rotunda area, and they have engraved the Florida Constitution, a portion of it, the preamble to it. And it says, "We the people, being grateful to Almighty God for our constitutional liberty in order to secure its benefits, perfect our government, ensure domestic tranquility, maintain public order, and guarantee equal civil and political rights to all. That includes my children. That includes everybody out there with a developmental disability and their families."
Well, that's what equality is.
I thought you recited that. I was like, I'm looking for your notes.
Well, that's what our friends at Equality Florida fights for.
Yeah.
That's what people say when they say equal justice for all. Mm-hmm. It is for all. It's not just for a selected group of people. And it shouldn't be because you're wealthy and you have money, you're better than somebody else.
Yeah.
It should be that we who have a voice, us collectively, are looking out for the others. That's what it's all about.
And I also just want to share, one of the things I want to do after Partners, one of our things was to go out and expand the horizons of everybody around you. And what I'm trying to start is a grassroots organization here focused on developmental disability policy in the state. And I'm reaching out to not only parents out there, but also self-advocates. And they can contact me at fladvocacy@outlook.com. So that's fladvocacy@outlook.com.
So has it been difficult for you to get like equipment? Like you'll have to get, some people need wheelchairs, specialized beds for special needs children.
Mm-hmm.
Does the state assist with those kind of things?
They do through Medicaid programs, and sometimes usually that's easier, but that would be a wonderful topic to have one time.
I know there's an issue with that because as a nurse, I've seen so many families that have said to me, we've had a hard time just trying to get a wheelchair or a difficult time just getting a specialized bed. And now there's equipment that can help you to lift somebody out of bed, and it's about a couple thousand dollars for those mechanical lifts, a Sara lift or a Hoya lift or something. And you would think that, you know, we encourage people to live life to its fullest. But our lawmakers should be hearing the challenges that people face on a daily basis to live that life to the fullest.
And I met some families that have children with global disabilities, including serious medical issues. And some of their stories are heartbreaking. And, you know, some of these people are having, both parents are having to quit jobs so that they can get Medicaid to help pay for certain things like that. Because the way the system is set up, it's not there for you to be productive because they want to work. They want to do those things.
But if you make $1,000 over, you don't qualify for Medicaid.
So you don't qualify.
Which we all know health insurance for a family of four is about $850 a month.
Yeah.
If you make $850 an hour, how on earth are you going to afford $850 a month for health care? So, Alika, you're from the Netherlands. Do you guys have socialized medicine there, or what you do, I think, right?
Yes, we do.
And do you have issues like this? Do you guys have,
she's looking at me like, oh, this is horrific.
With the population there?
So in the Netherlands, we have a social system where the people that earn more money like pay a lot more taxes, and with that, there is like a social health system.
It's a structure, a social structure built into society.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like my mom used to tell us, you know, because we had 18 kids. She would say, if you do well in life, you have to help the others. So we have a social security system within our family. If you do well with education, you help the others. If you can cook, you cook and bring food for the others. If you have a garden, you bring them something. If you can wash, you help everybody else to wash. So the thing is, it was sort of, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours kind of thing. And I like that concept because I think at the end of the day, every single human being wants to be loved, wants to be appreciated, wants to be able to go to bed knowing their neighbor has health care or they have food on the table. And we've talked about that a lot, Ellen, where, you know, that one of the things we do at our show is try to promote compassion and tolerance and things like that. So
and
it's
the
nice.
Worst part of some of this, too, is the fact that even when your sons, right, both sons, when they get to the point of being able to be a working age, they take benefits away if they make too much money.
Yeah,
I
think it's very complicated.
Right.
It's
very
really complicated as you get
structure, the way it's
set
up. Because I have nursing assistants that I know that I used to work with that couldn't qualify for Medicaid because they made like 500 over the limit. And so they would prefer to cut back and work 30 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're short on the floors because you don't have two shifts filled. It's somehow, some way, I would like to see you sit down with some of our legislators and speak to them because they don't understand the struggles of a person making $8.50 an hour or a person who has two children with developmental disabilities and has to worry about the insurance and the food on the table and affordable housing and living in an environment. They say we are the environment that we live in. But if you're making less than $10 an hour, look at the environment where you can afford to live. I mean, it's a lot of factors and not just one thing, right?
Well, and we need to prioritize human dignity. I don't know where that has gotten lost, but somewhere along the line it has. And that needs to be a priority for all of us.
Well, we are on Team Thompson.
Yay.
Well, little knuckle bump. There we go.
You know, somebody asked me, I went to Highland Beach this Saturday for a luncheon with the Highland Beach Dems, and they gave an award to Terry Rizzo, the Florida Democratic chair. And one of the things somebody asked me was what I thought would be the message for the Democratic Party, or just any politician. It doesn't have to be a Democrat. It could be a Republican, anyone. And I said, jobs with benefits. And when I say benefits, it includes everything we just spoke about.
Mm-hmm.
Give a family the respect and the dignity the family needs.
Another fantastic episode of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Next week will prove to be just another exciting show. Stay tuned right here on AM 1510 WWBC.